Well, good morning, everybody. And it is a little bit overwhelming for me to be here. As I look out and see you and in this place that for about 45 years has been woven into my life. And I know 45 years is not a long time in God's sight, but it certainly is for me. But I could spend the rest of the time just telling you stories of what I remember happening right there when I saw the Holy Spirit work and bring healing to someone. Or back there when the African-American brother brought a word in tongues that sounded like the voice of Moses coming down from Mount Sinai. And then Katie Moffitt, I think she's there, came up and gave the interpretation. And I remember being caught up in praise and worship here. People, it's just incredible to look out and see you and to have been invited back into this river of God that you have been a part of. And particularly for this special occasion of Josh Madrensky being installed as co-pastor. And as I have been praying about this, the Lord has given me what I believe are two words that may be apropos for this occasion. But Lord, we ask that you'll send your Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us, you'll open our ears, open our eyes to see what you are doing, to see how you're not just doing new things, you're building on old things. Good old things, and moving them into the future. At this nexus moment between the past, the present, and moving into the future. So I thank you, Jesus, for what you have done and what you are doing and what you plan to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fall upon us. For your glory, Jesus. Amen. Well, the first verse of Scripture is from Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And this is the words to the young Joshua who has taken over from Moses, who has gone up Mount Nebo. And the word to the Lord, from the Lord to Joshua and to the people, is make sure you are very strong and brave. Carefully obey all the law my servant Moses charged you to keep. Do not swerve from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful in all you do. And jumping down to verse 9, I repeat, be strong and brave. Don't be afraid, and I love this translation, don't panic. For I, the Lord your God, am with you in all you do. Does the word don't panic mean anything to anybody, Josh? Seems like that was part of the reaction when this call first started to come. Don't panic. But then the second word comes from Zechariah, Prophet Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6. And this, of course, is that extraordinary vision that Zechariah was given when he was facing this extraordinary work of building and everything. And it says this, the Lord says this, Let's see if I can find it here. He said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Not by might, not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I believe these two verses speak to right where we are right now. But before I get to that, I want to just go back quickly and review. I want to review a little bit about the river of God that you have been a part of, that we have been a part of. There's this great river of God, river of the Holy Spirit, that has been surging throughout history ever since Pentecost. And wave after wave after wave has been advancing through history and all through creation, all through the world, advancing the kingdom of God, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's moving us, this wave of the Holy Spirit is moving us to the great fulfillment, to the time when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what we're moving toward. And that's what you, we, as this church, we have been a part of this great river of God. And we've been a part of this great river of God that has taken the gospel to all nations and fulfilling the Great Commission. And will continue until Jesus Christ returns again in glory and brings the new heaven and new earth. And this event, okay, in this river of God that we're in, that's been flowing over these centuries and moving into the future, we are at a kind of a nexus point in this. And this installation service is marking a turning point, a transition point, a coming through a time when the river is not shifting course particularly, but you're moving into another phase of the river of God. It's going to have its own distinct characteristics. It's going to be unique. It's going to come from the past, but it's going to be flowing in new and extraordinary ways into the future. And right now, we're at that connecting point between the two, the past and then looking to the future. Well, I want to go way back to 1974 when this wonderful person named Laura Cole, I noticed her in ethics class at Union Theological Seminary. And it's reputed that I stole her hot chocolate in ethics class because we sat together and I would reach over and say, "May I have some of your hot chocolate?" Well, that was the beginning of a lot of things because there at Union Theological Seminary, we fell in love. And in that, of course, we were sort of wildly in love. But we heard that there were amazing things happening over here at this church, this Presbyterian church called St. Giles. And there were strange things happening. There were miracles taking place. The Holy Spirit had been poured out. It was reported that they were kind of weird. And that it was remarkable, though. And I remember Laura and I came over. Of course, we were quite sophisticated in those days. We really knew our Reformed theology and back then, and we still do. But we were quite certain that we knew everything. And that's the way you are when you first start at seminary. And so we arrived here and we were rather stunned because we found all these people, many of whom were our age or just a little older, and they were manifesting the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we were struck by that. We were amazed, okay? We were amazed by several things. We were amazed, and we were also kind of turned off. We had real trouble. These people were kind of over the edge. Were they really Presbyterians? Well, we then went to Korea. And we spent a year in South Korea where both Laura and I were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, well, we come back to Richmond to finish up a year at Summit Union Seminary. And this time we came back to St. Giles. And I guess to be perfectly honest, we had joined the weirdness. We were fully at home. And what happened was that we realized that this was normal Christianity. This was the normal Christianity that we had read about in the book of Acts, that we had read about in the book of Paul, Paul's book to the Corinthians, where he talked about everybody coming, bringing their gifts and sharing together. And he also, we experienced something else here, and that is an extraordinary love. Yes, there was power. Real power of the gospel. And I could tell you stories for the rest of the next 2 days about what I saw happening here, have seen happen, what you've experienced here. But the thing that was so incredible to us was that the love of Jesus was here. And you loved each other. And you loved us. And we felt your warm embrace here. Well, let's keep going. Because after going for 2 years in the parish, which was a wilderness experience for me, Laura and I then went to Korea. I went to Taiwan as missionaries. And we had 9 amazing years. Having been filled with the Holy Spirit, we were part of the great move of the Holy Spirit there. And why is all this important for St. Giles? It's because we had a daughter in Taiwan. Her name is Rebecca, our middle girl, born in Taiwan, China. She doesn't look very Chinese, but she was born there. And we had an extraordinary time in Taiwan where Rebecca experienced life in the spirit is kind of normal. It was normal that her daddy, that's me, was called a ghostbuster because of all the deliverance ministry we did, because of all the prayer ministry we did, and it was just kind of part of life. Well, we come back to the United States. I become executive director of PRMI, Presbyterian Reformed Ministries International, and I come back here to St. Giles, actually, but there's something else about Rebecca, because Rebecca, who's part of what's happening here, at 10 years old, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Never going to forget, she had had epilepsy. She was healed of the epilepsy, and then what happened, I was teaching in front of probably about 800 people, and there's a packed gymnasium, and I was standing up on the platform, and Rebecca is just 10 years old, hadn't seen her daddy all day, and just kind of came up on the platform just to be with me. The kids often did that. And I went and pat my head on her, you know, patted her on the head, say, "Hey, sweetie, glad you're here." Then all of a sudden, I hear a loud thump. And I look down, and here's Rebecca on the floor. And I said, "Oh, my goodness, what's happened?" And I reached down and say, "Sweetie, are you okay?" She said, "Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Jesus is here. Jesus is here." That's when she was filled with the Holy Spirit. That launched Rebecca. Let me keep going. Because then they go off to Union, to Fuller, not Union, Fuller Seminary. And they meet each other. And Josh, of course, meets Rebecca, but also is brought into this river of the Holy Spirit. He's also filled with the Holy Spirit. You can tell him that story yourself. But what happened is that Josh then becomes the intern at Christ Community Church with Richard White. He then becomes intern at PRMI. He goes on mission trips with me to Taiwan, to England, other places. He's seen all this, and then he becomes the pastor of a wonderful little church. And throughout this time, what I see in Josh is a person who is striving and growing and wanting to know how to dance with the Holy Spirit. And we would get together regularly for cookouts, and we'd cook together, but always around the cooking would be questions. How do we work with the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit doing? How do we follow Jesus? It was wonderful watching. I know he's my son-in-law, but to watch him grow in anointed ministry and watch the fruit of his ministry, first with PRMI, and then watching him grow as a pastoral leader with vision and anointing. Now, we've now come to where you've called him here. You've called him here. And I'll be perfectly honest that when we first got the call, Larry called me and said, Do you think Josh would be suitable to St. John's? And I didn't answer him for about 3 weeks. Because the moment I heard this call from Larry, I knew. Because I had sensed that Josh had been prepared for this, but of course it meant taking the grandchildren away. And so I'll be honest, it was a struggle. It was the struggle of that we've had, honestly, that we had. What's the best way to have your children close to you? To hold on to them? To say, no, you can never leave. Don't leave. Don't go far away. Stay here. And then I'm remembering what we did to our parents. You know, we came and said, you know, Mom, we're going off to Taiwan, other side of the world. And so they, you know, here it is. We struggled. Honestly, we did. But we realized that the only way to have your children close to you is to have them walking in God's will. To have them walking with Jesus, where Jesus calls them. And so, yes, it was a struggle. But yes, we said, Lord, we let them go. We encouraged them. And we released them just as our parents had released us. By the grace of God, we let go and said, go as Jesus calls you. Go as Jesus calls you. And we believe he has called. And we believe that right now we're at that nexus point, that turning point. That turning point where you're shifting to a new phase of obedience, of walking with Jesus. Now, the wonderful thing is that there are two called during this phase as co-pastors. Reverend Keith, right here, and Josh. And so the word about, it's not time yet for Keith to go up Mount Nebo or to leave. And so the word about don't panic yet is not quite right. But there's something going on here that's really important, that you two are stepping together. Now, what is the future? Is there a prophetic word? Is there maybe a vision that is in this package that the Lord is going to be bringing into reality? Now, I think there is a vision. There is a prophetic word. Now, prophetic words are not predictions of the future. They are invitations to join in creating with God his future. And I believe that in your calling, Josh, and calling Keith here to be co-pastors together, there is actually a prophetic word being given, being spoken to you, that you will be called. You're invited to, of course, discern, but then to pray and obey into reality. Now, I know Keith fairly well, but I think I know Josh even better. But I can tell you part of what you're getting when you get him. One is that this will be a Presbyterian congregation in the Reformed biblical stream. We talk all the time about Reformed theology. We talk about being Presbyterian, what it means, and there's something wonderful about that Presbyterian congregation in the Reformed stream. I travel all over the world. And you know what? It's the Reformed churches that are on the front lines of shaping reality, advancing the kingdom. Okay, but also a covenant family knit together in love. Your family. When I walked in here, I could feel the familyness, the fact that there's this fellowship here. Is that right? Yeah. But you're also growing together in knowing Jesus and following him. That's what I see in Josh. That's what I see in Rebecca. That's what I see in Keith. I've always seen. Is this passion, this commitment to grow in Jesus, but to grow together in that. There's something else, though. This may be a little unique or maybe a little close to the edge, but it's learning together the great dance of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. That's what's been unique about St. John's for all these years. It's a Spirit-led church. It's a church that has learned the dance of cooperating with the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. But as a congregation, what you are doing is you are living the kingdom of God. And when you live the kingdom of God, it means it's touching every dimension of reality. It means dealing with healing from wounds from racial injustice. It means healing of wounds from inner wounds that we may receive. It means bringing up people who are whole. It means transforming families. It means transforming your community. It means Jesus is all in all, touching every dimension of reality. It means taking part and overcoming evil in the world. It means advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, starting right here in your neighborhood. It means taking part in God's colossal, multidimensional building project of changing the world. Now, how are you going to accomplish that? Keith and Josh, I'd like for y'all to come up. Come on up, okay? I want to move out of the pulpit here. I want to move into something. I want to ask you how this is going to happen, okay? I need to put my mask on. Okay, we got these two guys here, okay? Okay, now, you see, these are the hired guns. Okay, they're the ones who you have called, and they've got all these gifts, they've got talents, they've got experience, and are they the ones that are going to do this? I mean, are they it? Well, in a lot of churches, that's the way it is. We've called you. We pay you. That's what they get the big bucks for, is to manifest and be the kingdom of God, right? Okay, you need to see his face. You need to take off that mask so they can see you. Okay. Well, the answer is no. But what we need here is, where are some of the old timers? Where are those with some, maybe some white hair. Where are those who were part of that initial move of the Holy Spirit? Who've been here a while? Aren't there a few of you? Could one or two come up? Not too many. Come on up, come on up. You can stand down there. Someone come up. Come on, come on. I want, okay. Now, what's it going to take, you see? Well, it takes those of you, us, I'm going to include myself in that. I didn't think I'd ever be 68, but am I 68, sweetie? No. Uh-oh. See, I'm losing already. I'm 69 now. I never thought that would happen to me. But what do you bring? What is it that these people need? Well, you need intercession. You need prayer, right? We're the intercessors here in this church. Raise your hands. I'm serious. I want to know who you are. Okay? Okay? We need intercession. We need people who will pray for them, who pray for the vision. Because if you don't have that base of prayer, you're not going to go anywhere. Okay? You may have a great program, but you won't go anywhere. Now, you also need wisdom. You'll need the wisdom of people who've lived life fully. You need the wisdom of teaching. Who are teachers here? I know some of you are teachers. Okay. We also need financial resources. We've got people who can give. We've got people who have gifts of administration. We've got people who have all that it takes right here from the older group right here, backing up and supporting not just the two of you, but the fulfillment of what God wants to do in this congregation. Now, is this enough? Do you see anything missing? How's the nexus going here? You see, if Josh and Keith, why don't you be over here, Keith? You be on this side. You represent the old side. Okay, so here's the old side over here, okay? Connecting down here with more of the... Why don't y'all come over here? Y'all are looking too young. You need to gather more on this side. This is the old people's side. Y'all just kind of limp on over. Okay, here we are. Okay. Now, Josh now, as the nexus, right over here, reaching, connecting here, connecting to the past, okay? Well, what do we need here? Yes! Okay. Are there some that God's raising up? Anybody over under 50 here? Anybody? Well, come on up. Yay! Okay, now if there's going to be a moving into the future, this river of God, how's it going to happen? I mean, these guys are critically important, but you know what? It's going to take people who will receive the mantle of leadership, right? Who will take up the role of prayer, right? Who will be willing to step into the ministry, right? Who will be willing to give to make it happen, right? Now, because see, what's going to happen is this guy, unless he's very unusual, unless he's like Enoch or something, and gets, you know, kind of caught up, he's going to be moving over this direction. Which means that y'all are going to have to be coming up here. Okay? There you go. Okay, now there's one thing. Do you see the point? Okay? In other words, this vision is not going to be fulfilled unless we have the past, those who have prayed, loved this church, poured out their resources for it, given sacrificially for it, fought many battles for it, which I'm familiar with. But you need them. But we need you. Okay? And we need this working together. And I'd like to add one or two other people to this group. I'd like for Addie Madrinsky to come up, because she's part of that really younger group who are going to be standing and stepping into leadership. Okay? Now, is there anything missing? Look, we got all this talent, gifted preachers, wisdom. What are we missing? What's that? We're missing something. And that is, it's the basis of cooperating with God to build God's kingdom. It was said to Zerubbabel back almost 3,000 years ago, it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. That's the only way to do God's work. Every church, at every shifting of the generations, every shifting, you see, that takes place between my generation now and this upcoming generation, has always got to decide, is it going to be by power and might? In other words, is it going to be trusting our strength? Is it going to be trusting our talents, our gifts, our finances, these wonderful buildings? Is it going to be us that's going to accomplish this? Or is it going to be by my spirit? And churches all through the generations have not continued in the river of God because they did not choose by my spirit. My challenge to you, and I believe it's not just a challenge, it's a gracious invitation, not given by me, who am I, but by Jesus Christ himself, to say, come, follow me. Jesus says, come and trust him. Trust Jesus. Trust him for the power, for the direction, for the equipping, for all you need in order to fulfill the vision of the future, in order to stay in the river of God. Say no to power and might. The landscape is littered with monuments to the past. It's by thy spirit that you become vital kingdom communities that shape the future and advance the kingdom of God. What do you choose? What do you choose, St. Giles? What do you choose? I'm done.